What a joy it is to share in worship with you today. I am so grateful and inspired by your community, the commitment you have to living your mission within and beyond the walls of your church, and to the leadership that you offer to the wider Portsmouth community. To my dear colleague, the Reverend Len DeRoche, it is a gift to share in worship with you. Thank you for your ministry and leadership to this fine congregation. I also want to thank all the leaders who helped make this day possible. I want to thank C.J. Cogswell, Brian Bliss as our worship associate, Jennifer Layden, and Irene and John Bush, who I've gotten to know through the President's Council of the UUA. And to everyone here for your gracious and warm hospitality. I'm truly touched by the gift. Thank you. I want to acknowledge Willard Lett, who is the regional lead of the New England region. That's the region that you're in here in Portsmouth. And Willard Lett is the person that you contact if you need help or support from the UUA. He is the key connection point between the UUA and this congregation. And I also want to acknowledge my colleague Jay Pacetti, a Mainer. I know some of you are also Mainers. And Jay works for the Department of Stewardship and Development at the UUA and is here with us today. So I'm glad to have Jay and Willard with me. More than anything, I want to start by saying thank you to all of you here at South Church. I know that the departure of Lauren Smith and Chris Jablonski as your ministers was too soon, and that it caused pain and hurt, and for that I am dearly sorry. I also want you to know that you have given an incredible gift to our larger faith. Reverend Lauren's ministry and leadership is a gift to the wider association, and it is a gift that you all are a part of. I know it may be small comfort, but I know that congregations shape and grow ministers just as much as ministers shape and grow congregations. I know that my own call and preparation for serving as president of your Unitarian Universalist Association was shaped and made possible by the UU Congregation of Phoenix, a ministry that was shaped by mission, courage, and deep generosity and commitment, both within and beyond the church. And I am grateful that Lauren has felt a call to serve our wider UU faith movement as the UUA's Director of Stewardship and Development. And I know you all had a role in preparing her for this calling. Thank you. And I want to share with you Lauren's deep care and love for all of you. She has told me again and again what a lovely and precious community you are, what tremendous people you are. And so I want to share that love back with all of you. I also want to lift up Andrew McGeorge, an incredible lay leader that you already know is an incredible lay leader here at South Church, who also said yes to serve our wider association and is now the UUA's treasurer and chief financial officer. Andrew, yeah, give it up. I am truly fortunate to work with you. And your leadership is an asset that will be felt across our association. Thank you for saying yes. It felt important and in right relationship with you at South Church to come here as soon as I was able to bring my personal acknowledgement of how hard the ministerial transition was. And my deep gratitude to you for the ways that you have nurtured and shared leadership with the wider UUA. And I'm sorry for our own role in making it difficult. I know what it is to love a congregation and be loved by it and also feel called in a new way. I shared with some leaders that I met last night that when you're elected president of the UUA, you start the next day. I know what those sudden losses are like. I know the loss it creates in a congregation, but what I want you to know is that I also know that the leadership that is coming from South Church is a reflection of your health and your vitality and the strength of your congregation. You all are a prominent and important church in our movement. And the ways that you have embraced mission, deepened your commitment to religious education and ministry to families, the ways you have grown your generosity and commitment, not just to your own church, but to the wider association, these practices reflect the health that has been nurtured here at South Church. And I want to say, keep it up. Keep it up, because one of the things that I have found, and I have visited a lot of congregations across our country, and one of the things that I have found is that when congregations embrace a deep sense of mission and an understanding of their calling that is about more than just serving themselves, that those are congregations where strong leadership, commitment, and courage develops. Those are the ingredients of healthy, vital communities that have the capacity and the power to make clear and measurable impacts in the lives of their members, in the lives of their children, and in the conditions of their larger community. This is why one of my first priorities as UUA president was to clarify the mission of the UUA and to put congregational health and vitality at its forefront. So everywhere I go, people ask, just as the children ask, what's the UUA? What does the UUA do? Well, as I already said, the UUA's core mission is threefold: to equip congregations for health and vitality, to train and support leaders, both lay and professional, and to advance our Unitarian Universalist values, amplifying the collective voice of our over 1,000 congregations. You can see the impact of the UUA's mission in curriculum and materials like our hymnals, and also in our Whole Lives comprehensive sexuality curriculum, which saves lives. Every day, all across this country, OWL saves lives by teaching young people about the importance of consent, about agency and sexual health, and about the beauty of the spectrum of gender identity and sexual orientation. We see the impact of the UUA's mission during times of ministerial transition with our interim ministry and ministerial settlement process, as well as credentialing the ministers that we need, not just today, but for the future. And we see it in the day-to-day of congregational life, with resources like the UUA's health insurance and retirement plan, which help congregations care for their staff and be just employers, but also with resources from congregational life to coach, connect, and companion congregations in both times of challenge and times of opportunity. We have books and webinars and trainings, as well as direct facilitation and retreats. All of these ways that we seek to serve our congregations and their leaders. And all of this is possible. In fact, this is only possible because of the covenant that our member congregations, including you here at South Church, and you are among some of our most generous congregations, certainly among the most generous here in the New England region. It is all possible because of the covenant that our member congregations make to your sibling congregations around this continent. So what is the UUA? The UUA is the embodiment of the covenant that our congregations make to each other to support them in times of need, in times of transition, and in times of opportunity. It is the covenant. When you give to the UUA, you're actually giving to your sibling congregations, making sure that they will have ministers, interim ministers, curriculum, and support. It's a covenant that we make to each other across our congregations. So thank you for your generosity and your commitment to being invested not just here, but to your sibling congregations through your gifts as an honor congregation to the UUA. Thank you. And as UUA president, I want to be clear that it is my great hope that we are increasingly a stronger partner to you as you nurture the powerful prophetic and deep pastoral and loving ministry of this community. Because these times we are living in, my friends, both nationally and globally, are heartbreaking. And people need community support, both pastoral support and the embracing love of a community to combat our despair, to bring our broken hearts and find comfort and resiliency, but who also need a liberating ministry to touch their hearts and inspire their action. It is exactly in the context of the times that we're living in that we need to realize how precious and important our liberating faith is, a tradition that believes in the inherent worth and dignity of every person, that believes in the practice and importance of democracy, and believes in the values of justice, equity, and compassion. Not only this, we are a tradition that is deeply committed to a multiracial, multicultural practice of being in community, a multiracial, multicultural democracy and society. And that vision is under attack. That vision in this country is directly under attack. We are a tradition that values science and takes our commitment to the planet seriously and says that we value life over profit. And that is needed today, my friends, that message, that cultural change fueled by love to turn us towards humanity, our collective humanity. We only have to watch the daily news and to experience the things we experience in every community across this country to know how critically needed these values are. Two things are incredibly clear to me right now. Number one, this is no time for a casual faith, no time to take our commitment to our community or our values lightly. And number two, this is no time to go it alone, because we need one another in the struggle that we face. This is a critical moment in history, and as Unitarian Universalists, we are called to demonstrate our faith, not just speak it, to demonstrate it boldly, faithfully, and powerfully. Now is the time to embrace more fully the deepest expression of our theology, and in particular, our Universalist theology. So Universalism, that's the idea of universal salvation, right? Universalism teaches us that no one is cast out of the circle of love and the circle of community. No one gets cast out. And that salvation is not individual. It is collective. That my liberation is bound up in your liberation. And the way that we live this faith out loud is by developing greater courage and taking more action and risking for the principles of justice, equity, and compassion for all people today in this life. And this is not only a deeply universalist message, it is a deeply humanist message. For ours is a faith that is not concerned with the hereafter, right? Ours is a faith that is concerned with the here and now, the conditions of people's lives today, the conditions of the lives of our neighbors, and right now, xenophobia, anti-immigrant fervor, Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, white nationalism, sexism, racism, heterosexism, transphobia, the climate crisis, poverty, lack of access to healthcare, voter suppression, gun violence. I wish the list were not so long. And I probably haven't even named everything, right? But these are all clear and direct threats that are happening right now and tearing apart families, people's lives, and our communities. So much is on the line right now. So much is on the line. And that is why we are called to live our faith out loud, to be our bravest, our boldest, and our most loving selves. to be our bravest, our boldest, and our most loving and compassionate selves here in our congregations, in the streets, in the halls of government, and in the voting booth. Right now, we are less than 15 months away from what may be the most pivotal election in our lifetimes. You will choose your candidates as individuals, but as a movement, I propose to you that we you the vote. Now, what do I mean by this, you the vote? Well, out in the wider community, Unitarian and Universalists are known as the people who show up. Have you ever shown up somewhere in your yellow Side with Love shirt? Some churches do that a lot, but we are known in the larger community as the people who show up for others and show up for issues that matter. And so what I mean by the you the vote is I want to challenge us over the next 15 months to not only be the people who show up, but the people who get others to show up, to turn out, and to vote. We have the opportunity, we have the ability, and we have the power to show what it looks like for those who ascribe to a faith of love and democracy to challenge the forces of voter suppression and exclusion. What happens in November 2020 matters. It matters to every single one of us, and it matters to our children. And with what we start doing tomorrow and the next day, we begin to write what will happen on November 2020. Thank you. So the first stage is that we as Unitarian Universalists need to start organizing ourselves with partners in our community as voter registration centers, right? Because the most effective way to combat voter suppression is to work on voter registration and get out the vote efforts. And so why not start organizing a table in your congregation that helps members of the congregation connect to those who are doing voter registration drives, to going out to homes and to people and being in public spaces where folks are not registered, and help get everyone you can registered to vote. Now, I know that you all know some of this because you're New Hampshireites. I'm from Missouri. I've lived all over the country, never in New Hampshire, but we are always looking to New Hampshire for your leadership and for your for the work that you do on behalf of our whole democracy and being among the first two primary states. You're also Mainers. I know that too, right? New Hampshireites and Mainers. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to start right now in working to help register people to vote. A lot of you already do this work. Some of you never have. We all need to find new ways to take that next step in engaging as citizens and participants in our democracy. With groups and people, choose groups and people that you care about for voter engagement, voter mobilization efforts. These are going to be key. And this is not political. I mean, it may be political. It's not partisan. It's fully in our faith values as UUs who believe in democracy and the right of all people to have a voice and a vote. That's part of our seven principles. Democracy is about the inherent worth and dignity of all people. It is about our commitment to justice and equity. And so if we start right now with registering voters and getting connected to groups that are doing this work, then when 2020 begins, we've already built some muscle about talking to our neighbors, knocking on doors, making phone calls. Sometimes knocking on doors is a hugely courageous thing if you've never done it before. To talk to your neighbor or stranger about what you care about and how important voting is, go out there and do it. You'll build that courage. One of the things I like to tell people about courage is that courage is not something you either have or don't have. It's not that there are courageous people and non-courageous people. We all have the capacity for courage. We just have to build the muscle. You don't have courage, you do courage, right? Take one small step, then you're able to take the next bigger step and the next bigger step. So take a step beyond what you've done in the past. When 2020 comes, we've built muscle, and we can help turn out for issues that are close to what we care about, like climate justice and healthcare and GLBT rights and women's reproductive justice, we can help turn out on issues. Individually, you can turn out for candidates too. As a church, we can turn out for issues. Imagine what it would mean. Imagine with me what it would mean if across this country, 150,000 Unitarian Universalists were able to get 500,000 or 1,000,000 people to vote. Imagine what difference that would make. 500,000 people to vote. And for me, that's a vote for love and a vote for humanity and a vote for justice. But imagine if we touched 500,000 people, unregistered voters, unlikely voters, help turn them out. You the vote by helping others show up, turn out, and vote. Our voice, our values, our ability to show up matters right now, and it is needed. We are small. We are small, but we are mighty. And that mighty love and spirit-centered courage is exactly what is needed today. These are difficult and dangerous times. These are difficult and dangerous times. And one of the challenges is that in times of change and disruption, there is a human tendency to grow fearful and withdraw. Individuals do that. Even institutions can turn inward in times of change and grow fearful. This is why the rhetoric of hate and scarcity and isolation grows in our country. It's because we're living in a time of enormous change with climate change and globalization and the world shrinking. Social media, the internet, all these things have fundamentally changed our world. And some people react to change with fear and withdrawing and scarcity. But we are a people that can react to change with love. And to see the promise that is possible when people put their best selves forward and are committed to each other's humanity. It is exactly in these times when we need vision, we need boldness, and we need audacious leaders and audacious communities that are showing a new way forward, one that is life-giving, life-affirming, and justice-centered. And to do this, we need each other. We need the support of each other. And we need to invest more fully in the power and generosity of our congregations. One of the things I say everywhere I go is the most important way that you can support Unitarian Universalism and your values is by giving to your church right here. Because it is right here in our congregations where the lives of our children are nurtured. It is right here in the lives of our congregations where people's lives are saved and changed. I bet many of you have stories in your own hearts about the ways that your life was changed through this church, saved by this church. Your investment right here matters. Our congregations are life-saving, life-affirming places that counteract the forces of greed and division and fear that threaten our humanity and our children's future. And I believe that our communities, even when we are small, that when we live our mission, we are one of the most powerful forces for good in every community where Unitarian Universalism is. We need one another, and we need to invest more generously and faithfully in the good work we do, for only together, with mission, with courage, and with deep commitment, can we be the people that we are called to be. May we be those people. Blessed be, and amen.